I'd like to call upon Dr. Liz Bolton to come and give us a short address. I'd like to read a very short bio of Liz. Dr. Elizabeth Bolton, or Liz, is a research affiliate with the Climate Change and Insecurity Project, which is a collaboration between the University of Oxford and the British Army. Her doctoral research developed the idea that climate and environmental change constitutes a new form of threat, in fact, a hyper threat. She then applied modified military threat analysis and strategic planning tools to investigate options for a hyper response. This led to Plan E, the world's first climate and eco-centered security strategy, published by the US Marine Corps University Press in 2022. Prior to this, Liz was a logistics officer in the Australian Army. She did logistics and humanitarian work in Africa, and later worked in climate policy and risk communication in local, state, and federal government agencies. Liz is an aunt to seven nephews and nieces aged 13 to 18. Would everyone welcome Liz Bolton?
I'm a bit of a shorty, so I might just put that down a little bit. Thank you for the warm introduction. Firstly, I'd like to acknowledge Kat McLeod, who isn't here today. She's unfortunately ill, but she was. I really appreciate the fact she had to convince me that aunts would be welcome here, and I really, really appreciate that she did that. I also like to acknowledge that we're on the stolen lands of the Wurundjeri people, and I pay my respects to their elders past, present, and emerging. So, mothers, grandmothers, aunties, sisters, daughters, and allies, you're out here on a chilly winter's day because of your love and rightful concern for children and the next generation's future. I wish to honour your concern by introducing you to a bold approach to the mess we find ourselves in. Plan E is a concept for an emergency response to the planetary crisis. E stands for Earth. It's just a coincidence that my name's Elizabeth. Plan E can also be described as actually the introduction said, as a climate and ecologically centred security strategy. That is, it prioritises foundational security, a habitable planet, adequate food, shelter, water, for all forms of planetary life. But first, let me reflect on where we're at the moment. In the context of the extreme changes in the climate system that we've seen this year, for example, just this week, the shocking fires in Hawaii, Canada, and Spain, it is surreal that no serious emergency response planning effort is occurring. No global emergency meetings are being called. There is not even any contingency planning for how to enact a climate emergency response. By way of comparison, you may recall in November last year, a stray missile landed in Poland. Immediately, a global emergency meeting was called involving G7 and NATO leaders. The issue dominated world headlines. There was a sense of alarm that World War III might start at any minute. Strangely, this crisis ended at the exact time that the COP27 climate negotiations, which were underway in Egypt at the exact same time, came to a close. Then it turned out that the missile was just an accidental stray and it was no big deal after all. But again, an opportunity we had for ambitious climate action escaped the world's attention and was trumped by so-called traditional security concerns. That incident is an example of how security narratives can be distorted and used to underplay the dangers of climate and environmental crisis. I know you'd all be well aware of the lies surrounding the Vietnam War and the mythical weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. I'm going to propose to you today that decade-long discussion that climate and environmental issues should not be considered in a security environment, they should not be securitized, that this would lead to some sort of draconian solution and should be avoided at all costs, has also been a sleight of hand, a cunning tactic and part of the smoke and mirrors of distorted threat narratives. It is complex, but I argue that this approach of never properly considering the climate and ecological crisis as the extraordinary threat to life that it's often described as, has meant that new forms of violence, destruction, harm and killing have escaped scrutiny and proper prioritisation. So we need a new approach that accounts for the new form of violence that we front in this century. So that's what Plan E aims to achieve. And there are two underpinning concepts that I'd like to explain to you. The first one is that redefining violence. So as has been said, propose that the interconnected climate and ecological crisis present a new sort of threat, which I call a hyper threat. And I propose that the hyper threat will be the dominant form of killing, destruction and harm facing our population, and especially the future generations over the 21st century. The hyper threat has warlike destructive capabilities that are so diffuse that it's hard to see the enormity of the destruction coherently, nor who's responsible for its hostile actions. This new type of threat defies our existing human thought and institutional constructs. The other key concept is entangled security. And this is the idea at the most basic level, is that planetary, human and state security are now inherently interconnected and entangled, that it doesn't make sense to consider just military security without thinking of the other two. So now that we've got these two new concepts, this allows a new question to emerge. So how do we contain the hyper threat in the context of an entangled security environment? So we threw a whole lot of strategic planning and threat response methods to this question, and the result was Plan E. So what does Plan E involve? So the first thing I want to highlight is that it is envisaged as a civilian-led civil mobilisation, which is different from militarisation. So I just want to highlight that it does not follow that treating the planetary crisis as a serious threat therefore leads to a military solution. We are creative beings, after all. We can choose how we respond. So that the aim, the mission of Plan E is simply to create a safe path to safe Earth. In practical terms, this means limiting global warming to 1.5 degrees. And I know that a lot of people would laugh at that at this stage, but I think there is a duty to Pacific Islanders and so forth to keep that stretch target and at least aim as close to that as possible. Arresting the sixth extinction event and maximising safety for all forms of planetary life. So the overall approach does take that entangled security theory through the whole thing. It creates a high-level framework to concurrently address planetary, human and state security dimensions. It raises a whole stack of new capabilities, new institutions and involves new jobs. Just for example, eco-transition coaches, transition teams, eco-rebuild squads and my favourite, tracking harm specialists. So they're a special new sort of detective, a white-collar crime and environmental crime specialist. So the time frames, it goes for 80 years, but I just want to focus on the first two aspects. It begins with, which is actually called Plan E, a full year devoted to emergency action and envisaging and embarking. So it's a full year dedicated to planning, deliberate, supported planning. So I just want to highlight that Plan E is a bottom-up approach to security and increasingly a localised response to threat. So that means we need a full year to support that bottom-up planning across the whole spectrum of society. So for mums, parents, caregivers, childcare workers, teachers and so on, we'll be involved in this deliberate planning. After a year of deliberate planning, and of course there are some emergency actions, we then go to Plan F. F stands for 4 years of fast and furious. So it is 4 years of going hell for leather from 2025 to 2028. So you can imagine it as like a backyard blitz, you know, when they do those rapid renovation programs on TV. But it's like that, but it's for the planet. So it's on a gigantic scale across every sector, every company, every school, every hairdresser shop, every bakery and every supermarket. So we have 4 years to establish a circular economy, 4 years for the housing and construction sector to only build eco-sensitive and zero-carbon homes, 4 years to get urban food forests up, 4 years to prepare for the main body, the hyper-threat main body forces who will start to arrive 2030, and for us to be ready to outsmart, outmaneuver and survive the coming hyper-threat attacks. 4 years to rewrite laws and put in a new legal and justice framework, and 4 years transforming our educational institutions to develop the workforce skills apprenticeships that the hyper-response will need. There's a couple of specific task forces that I want to explain to you that are relevant to mothers and caregivers. One is a thing called the home force. So this is one of the major focuses of Plan E, is the eco-transition at the household and community level. So to achieve that, I'm imagining a massive inundation of research and development support to the home and community sector for a major eco transformation. So imagine the budget for a new Air Force Strike fighter plane and the technical and specialist expertise that would be allocated to that. So now imagine that type of effort, the best designers, the best innovators are assigned to work with parents and communities to essentially design the hyper threat out of existence. There is another group, which is called the Life Force Group, and their mission is to enhance human vitality and well-being. There is a phrase that to win a battle, you need the strongest army as possible. So the aim is to make the hyper response force as strong and vital as we possibly can be. And we know that there's all sorts of problems across the community. So within that area of Life Force, there's a special area allocated to family and parenting and something called relations of care. So this is an approach that understands that the human being is not an autonomous single unit, nor is it a consumer or GDP producer, but rather it's a person that exists and survives in networks of care, and that all human beings need love, care, appreciation, acceptance and inclusion in order to thrive. So we take a blank page approach to family, parenting and relations of care in the context of a looming hyper threat. There are a whole lot of tailored human security solutions for vulnerable groups such as domestic violence, human trafficking, homelessness, etc., sexual violence, gang, street violence. So injecting resources and expertise to reconsider what can be done in those areas and how those vulnerable people can, if they want to, be contributors and part of the hyper response. The main thing is to set ourselves up to succeed. So at a strategic level, Plan E is intended as a starting point, a launch pad for idea creation by others. So rather than detail every exact solution, it creates a space, opportunity, the planning support and resources for others to develop fantastic, robust, imaginative solutions that suit their context. Plan E is about care ethics with muscle. We know we're going to face hell. So we look after each other as much as possible. We prepare as much as possible. We create buffers, redundancy, emergency stocks, emergency shelters, opportunities to rehearse specific emergency actions. We develop new forms of expertise. We take this threat very seriously. We give ourselves and the planet the best chance we can. I'd like to end by calling for two specific actions. First, the federal budget allocates funding for the development of a planetary crisis response plan. At the very least, a contingency plan for emergency response is developed. When you think of the defence budget, the fact that not $1 is allocated to this is absolutely atrocious. Second, at the diplomatic level, Australia seeks to establish a planetary crisis peace treaty in our region, including with China. These two steps are the least that's owed to the next generation. Thank you.